So I met Jasmine as a result of Lillimore. I met Lillimore because of Peter Miles. A month or so after that, my commanding officer called my two fellow officers who I live with and me into his office, and he wanted to know everything we could tell him about Peter Miles. And then he told us that nothing that we thought was factual, that Peter Miles never been to UCLA, never been in the American Air Force, never worked for American Embassy. He wasn't even an American. He was a Brit posing as an American, and he was the head of a really large car theft ring, and they would meet Americans steal their cars. I had a little car, and why he didn't take it, I don't know.
But I can sell you one.
But it would be fair to say that I met my wife because of a car thief, although she had never met Peter. But if it hadn't been for Peter, I would not have met Jasmine.
In those days, in England, you had to park. In fact, I'm not sure you may still do, but you had to leave your lights on. Your headlights had to be left on all night, the dim part of your headlights. And of course, it would run your motor down if you had a very small motor. Well, Mel had a small car which did not have a large motor. So every time that he would leave his car any length of time, it would kill the battery. And the only way he could get it started was pushing the car to get it running again. Because I don't drive, or I didn't drive, whenever we were anywhere, I would have to be the one to push the car while Melvin started the motor going. After we dated quite a bit, I lived in London, and Mel would come to my home and stay with me. My mother and my father and my sisters and all were there, so it was quite on the up and up. But anyway, after spending a night there, the car would not run again. In our house, we were not very well to do. We were just barely making a living. My mother was a widow during the war, raising three children during the actual bombing, and my father had been one of these very spendthrift people who went through life thinking that money would always appear in his pocket. Didn't matter if he worked for it or not. So he left my mother in very dire circumstances with three children. So mother had had a hard time with us all. But we were very fortunate. I was blessed with a very good singing voice. I wasn't a particularly standout looker, but I had a really good voice. And I knew that when I went to sing, that I generally would win whatever the thing was. My mother decided, since we did not know at the time, when I was a child, that I was dyslexic. Dyslexia was unheard of, and everybody thought you were a dunce if you didn't know how to do math or you couldn't read. Well, I taught myself to read during those years, but I was very, very poor with math, dreadful. And my mother came to the realization that I would never be able to make a living, earning my living by anything that had to do with money. So once you discover that I had a singing voice, which I have to go back a little bit, during the war I was in a small town called Hornchurch. I was born in Hornchurch. And it's a very small town outside of London, about 35, 40 miles out of London. And during that period of time, the school was in an area where there was a small air base there. And the base was just a nondescript base. It was where young people who wanted to learn to fly would come into Hornchurch, learn to fly for a few pounds or whatever it was. I don't know what they charged, but anyway, they did learn to fly. And that was it. Well, when the war was declared, Hornchurch suddenly became a strategic air base because it was in a very vital area between London and the coast. It just sort of mushroomed overnight to an air base of fighter pilots. And anyone who could fly anything was brought to Hornchurch to fly it and try to protect London from the German Luftwaffe. They were adamant in trying to get into London to smack London to pieces because that was the way they were going to arrive and make England theirs. So we became a very, very, very bad area to be living in during that period of time. So I spent a lot of my very early years of schooling, very, very early, because we started school at 4 in England. I didn't go to school at 6. I started at 4. So I was sitting in air raid bases day and night because the bombing was right over near where we went to school. Because of that, teachers were trying to distract the children from the bombing and the noises that were carrying on outside of our area. That became very important to whatever we could, whatever, you know, the teachers could come up with that would make a noise, would be wonderful. And I happened to have a nice, loud singing voice. So I became an entertainer at a very early age, near the airbase in the school. It was very important during that period of time, you know, as I said, so I sang a lot. Of course, school work was pretty much neglected because we were not having one or two air bombings. We were having sometimes as many as 10 and 15 during the course of a day. It was very difficult for us to go home from school to our home, which was quite a distance away from the actual school itself, because you were walking through either streets or in an open field where when the planes were either going to London or flying back towards Germany, actually they were stationed in France during that period of time, they were trying to lighten their load, so they would unload everything they had. If they hadn't dropped it on London, they'd drop it on Hornchurch, because they were trying to keep as little in their aeroplane so that they would have the ability to fly. There was a few miles across the coast. So children or anything that moved in going home were shot at, and bombs were dropped on them or whatever. It was a really bad time. This was happening not just in my one part of the world, but it was happening in many places where there were air bases and they were in the way of the Luftwaffe. They didn't mind where they dropped their bombs or who they dropped them on. So we were really almost about wiped off the map at one period of time.
So you had destruction there in
all the time
in Essex?
Yes.
Close to you?
Oh, yes. And my home was almost demolished several times, and we were very lucky. We lived far enough away from the school and the air base that we lost our roof and our windows and stuff like that frequently. And there was a guard, they called them, National Guard, I guess.
Home Guard.
Home Guard. I beg your pardon, it was Home Guard, very good, that would come around and help if you had your windows taken out. We were living in a council house at the time. That meant that it belonged to the council, and we paid a very nominal fee because my mother could not pay a large fee. She was working two jobs to sustain us. So we were paying a very small fee, and we were able to keep a roof above our heads when it was there. And the Home Guard would work towards keeping us where we had a roof. Anyway, going back to the singing, that's where they discovered I was a singer. Mother had already discovered my eyesight was dreadful, or something was wrong, that I could not add two and two and come up with four at the same time more than once. And so she discovered that there was a very good theatrical school in London. I had already done one or two jobs, very small jobs. So she went to the theatrical school and she took me along with her. I sang for the owner of the school, and she said, "You have a very good voice." She said, "I'll take you on contract. Under contract, you will have to work for me. I'll take you to auditions, and whenever you get the auditions, some of the money will be taken and put in a bank account for you, and the rest will be for fees for me." And so she kept me working. That was how I went through schooling. I went to a theatrical school where I ate during the mornings. We had schooling of 3 hours, you know, we went through the normal thing. And then in the afternoons, we had acting lessons, singing lessons, dancing lessons, and anything that happened to be on the agenda. And that was how I got into show business.